and the church tonight. Probably just the tribulation or a little bit about it tonight, and then next week about the church. And will we be here during the tribulation? Okay, you know the answer is no, but can you show me where? And so we need to know what the Bible says. You know, many now, I think, are thinking about last days, end times, things like that. You've heard the Great Reset, the One World Order. I think a lot of what we saw last year was maybe a dress rehearsal for One World Order. I'm telling you, this world is set for one person to come along and rule the world. And, you know, the mark of the beast. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want to get the vaccine. It's the mark of the beast. Or could be. Well, to be honest, we don't know what's in it. How about that? But I know it's not the mark of the beast, right? I mean, that's the problem is we don't know what's in it. The other problem is, or that we can be sure, it's not the mark of the beast, okay? Whatever you feel about that, I won't even get started on that. But what does the Bible say about these things? That's what we need to know. So let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and 1 through 12. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now that's the rapture right there, our gathering together unto him. That's the rapture. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall give them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Lord, we thank you tonight for the missionary presentation, and Lord, not just the pictures, but the lives that have been changed and are being changed there in the Dominican. God, thank you for Brother Matt and Floor and their boys, and Lord, their willingness to go and serve you there and spend and be spent there for thee. And we praise you. Bless our time in your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the Bible, we read about a time of unmatched warfare, distress, and suffering. And it's about to break on the world, really. When Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, we'll read some there in a minute, but his disciples said, tell us, what's the end of day? What's the end of time? And he began to say, you know, and last year I remember preaching on the fact of pestilences, and the COVID could definitely be called a pestilence. And then earthquakes and all sorts of things. Karen follows this guy on YouTube that traces earthquakes. And she'll say, oh, there was a bad one here yesterday, and there was a bad one, but they're on the increase. And a volcano in Japan, and all this kind of stuff's going on. I mean, on the increase. And Jesus said, these are the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. So it's about to break out on the world. It's called the Great Tribulation. Let's do go to Matthew 24, and I'll read a few verses there. I just want to tell you kind of from the different places what it's called in the Bible. Matthew 24, in verse 21, he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Verse 29, same chapter. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven, in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. So this is, he calls it the Great Tribulation. It's called that in Revelation chapter 7 as well. And then it's called in Jeremiah chapter 30, the time of Jacob's trouble. Notice that verse with me, Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Jeremiah 37, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's an interesting verse. It's hard not to comment and dwell on these verses, but I just wanted to show what it's called in different places. Go back a little further to Isaiah 13. It's called there the Day of the Lord, Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, both cruel and cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So these are different names that it's called. One more name I'll just give you, put this one out. It's called the Day of Vengeance of our God, Isaiah 61, 2. So these are the same things. These are synonymous with all being the Great Tribulation. I believe the Day of the Lord is a time period beginning with the tribulation and going until the Lord comes back, even into the end there, the Day of the Lord. So it will be the darkest period of the world's history. Say a few things about it tonight, just an introduction. The Great Tribulation will be ushered in by the appearance of a very powerful and sinister figure who the Scriptures call the Antichrist. He will be a statesman, a warrior, and a religious leader, and he'll be the greatest the world has ever seen for a while. Go back again to, we're here in Isaiah, just fast forward to Daniel. We talked about him in the text we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. He's talked about in Daniel 7, he's talked about in Daniel 9, but I want to read some verses in Daniel 11, verse 36. Daniel 11, 36. And the king shall do exceeding to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And it goes on and talks about different other aspects of what he will do there. But I just wanted you to see a few things there. He won't regard the God of his fathers. That's why some people believe he will be of Jewish origin, because One, we're going to look at in a minute, he'll sign a peace treaty with Israel. And I don't know that the Israel would enter into a peace treaty with anybody that's not a Jew. So he may be part Jew, he may be fully, we're not sure about that. But here's a reference, he won't honor the God of his fathers. And so that's where they say maybe he's Jewish, because the God of his fathers would be Jehovah God. So that's one thing. It says, neither shall he desire the desire of women. Some people have said, well, that means he's a homosexual. Well, he could be, but I don't think that's what that means right there. I really believe the God of women there is a reference. If you study this out, this term out, it's more like a like what we would call Mother Nature or the Green New Deal, right? I mean, something like that that's worshipped, nature. And we, you know, I don't believe in Mother Nature. I believe in Father God, right? But all of that kind of a, there's always been a female deity in false worship. But he's going to be God. He's going to want to be God. And he's going to reject all the gods. The one God he's going to honor is the God of forces, which is a reference to military power or war. He'll be a man of peace, but he'll also be a man of war. I believe he'll come in peaceably, but yet he'll then be a man of war, a very bloody man. Understand, Antichrist. So he's the second person of the unholy Trinity. You know, there's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then there's the unholy Trinity, the devil, Antichrist, and the false prophet. So just like the Lord's got the devil has a counterfeit for everything that God has, even the unholy Trinity. So that's some things about him. Back to 2 Thessalonians where we started. I read through those verses, but let me just comment on them now. He's called here in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, he's called the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he once worshipped. He will be energized by Satan. He will, during the tribulation time, he will control everything. He'll control everything. Look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13 and 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. I'm going to tell you something. Just because somebody can do miracles and signs and wonder doesn't mean he's of God. Right? Here's the devil, and he's going to be a miracle-working dude. I mean, Antichrist is going to be a miracle-working dude. Even get dealt a death blow and like fake a resurrection. Right? He won't die because God has the power to rise only, but to give life to the death. But he'll fake it. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. Now, are we not set up for this? Are we not set up for this? Haven't we seen this? I mean, really, they're talking about this passport thing. You know, I mean, they, you know, in other words, they can't make it mandatory. The government said, oh, we're not going to push the passport. But Amazon can. Somebody else can. You're not going to get into this store. You're not going to get into this stadium unless you've had the vaccine. Is this the mark of the beast? No. But we're set up for it. We're set for something like this to happen. And that no man might buy or sell save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. So he's a very powerful, sinister figure. He'll be a military man. He'll be a peaceful man at first, but then he'll be a very evil, murderous man. He'll be energized by Satan, the devil's counterfeit Christ. He will control commerce. He will control everything. If you had a column, you could say Christ on this column and the Antichrist on this column. You could say that Christ humbled himself. The Antichrist exalts himself. We read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He exalteth himself. Christ came to serve and to save. He says, I'm not come to be served, but to serve. And he says in another place, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Antichrist comes to domineer and destroy. Read there in Daniel 11, 39, that he destroys and divides nations. Jesus came to do his Father's will. Antichrist comes to do his own will. Christ is a lamb and a lion, Revelation chapter 5. Antichrist is like a lamb and a dragon. Jesus has a bride. And Revelation chapter 17 talks about the whore of Babylon as the bride of the devil, Antichrist. Jesus was and is God, John 1:1, but he claims falsely to be God. He'll setteth himself in the temple as God. He exalts God, Jesus does, but the devil blasphemes God. We read that in Revelation chapter 13. So he is anti-Christ. He will control the military system. He will control commerce. He will control worship. He will claim to be God. His co-worker will be the false prophet. The false prophet, whoever that is, used to say that the Pope was a false prophet. You ever heard that? You know, back in the day. That the Pope, he's definitely a false prophet. I don't know if he is the false prophet, but whoever it is will promote the Antichrist. He's called a beast also in the book of Revelation, but he'll promote the Antichrist, just like the Holy Spirit promotes Jesus. Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself. He glorifies Christ. He says, I'm here to glorify him. He will glorify me, Jesus said. So he's everything that Jesus is flipped, opposite. He is the Antichrist. Second thing I want to say is at the beginning of the Great Tribulation period, he will make a covenant, Antichrist will make a covenant with the Jews, which he will break up by setting up the abomination of desolation in the temple and demanding universal worship. Okay, we read about that in 2 Thessalonians verse 2:4, where it says that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Where does that come from? Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 is one of the greatest prophetic passages that give us a timetable for the future. And I won't read it or explain the whole thing, but it starts in about verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So he's talking about thy people. Daniel's talking about thy people, God's people, the Jew, and upon thy holy city. So we know that's to be Jerusalem. And he goes on down, and he says in verse number 27, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The 1 week there, 70 weeks are determined. So the week is a week of years, a week of sevens, which 1 week is going to be 7 years, according to this passage, and you compare that with others. But 1 week is 7 years. So he confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week. So when we're gone, when we get raptured out of here, I think there's a time period, not a long time period, but a brief time period. And then you know, it'll be chaotic when the rapture happens, but there's going to be someone will step on the scene as a peacemaking man. Hey, I want to tell you what happened. They were abducted. They were abducted by UFO or something. I don't know what they're going to say, really. Whatever they'll say, the Bible says they'll believe a lie. They're going to believe strong delusion. But we're going to be raptured out, okay? Then this man the man of sin, the son of perdition, he reveals himself. He can't reveal himself until we're gone. 2 Thessalonians says, now he that letteth, that's the Holy Spirit in us, is suppressing all hell from breaking out on this world. Do you realize that tonight? Do you realize that really, I mean, if we got raptured today, there'd be rejoicing in the streets because people would say, we can get on now with our agenda. I mean, all the evil things that are being passed now, they're not totally going the way they want to because you've got Christian people that are still saying, ha-ah, you can't do that. You know, and we ought to stand for right. But when we're gone, it's gone, they're out of there, and then the Holy Spirit, or the Antichrist will manifest himself. But one of the first things he'll do is sign a peace treaty, a covenant, it's called here, with the nation of Israel. He'll allow them to do what? Build their temple. And he'll allow them to the protection that they need. Right now, America protects Israel. I say today. I don't know if that's going to continue to happen. I hope it does. I hope it does. I hope the president will support Israel like we have in the past. If we don't, then God will judge America even more. So, but if we were gone, if we weren't protecting, they have no friends. Now, they've made some peace with some Middle Eastern countries, and that's interesting. But when we're gone, they're going to need protection. And the Antichrist is going to provide that protection. He's going to provide protection. He's going to provide them to build their temple. That's what they want. We've been a few years ago when we were in Israel, we went to the Temple Institute, and they have everything they need to build. They have everything they need to begin temple worship except for the temple. They even have the red heifer. They need the ashes of the red heifer, and they have a red heifer. And so they have all of that. We saw it, all the stuff that they're going to use. We saw it with our own eyes. It's amazing. All they need is a building. And they're going to get their building. He's going to allow them to build their building. But notice what it says. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. What's that? The sacrificing of animals is going to be happening again. They're going to go back to Old Testament type of worship. Now, isn't that going to be popular in our earth-hugging world? Huh? You think they're not, the Jews aren't popular now. You wait till they start slaughtering animals wholesale like they did in the days of the Bible, right? I mean, they're going to, but he's going to walk in the midst of that 3 years and stop it. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What's all that mean? He is going to commit what Jesus called in Matthew 24, the abomination of desolation. And Jesus said, this is what Daniel spoke about. He will set himself up as God in the temple and demand worship in the 3.5 year period of the tribulation. I don't know whether he'll slaughter a hog on the altar or what. Antiochus Epiphanes, who was mentioned in Daniel chapter 11, that's who he's talking about, he did that. He did that in right back during the Maccabean revolt. But he did that. Antiochus Epiphanes. But he did it. He slaughtered a hog on the altar before they destroyed the temple there. But I don't know if Antichrist will do that or he'll just set it up. But this is what Jesus says. Then the great tribulation begins. Now, it's pretty great before that. I mean, you're talking about the judgments of Revelation, early part of Revelation, and then the great tribulation. But here, then he's going to turn on the Jew, and he's going to begin to persecute the Jew. And that's when Jesus said, head for the hills. You're not going to either want to eat supper. Just pack up and get out of there. Don't even pack. Just get out of there. So he's going to demand universal worship during this time. And then the second part of the great tribulation will increase with the famines and the pestilence and the death and the earthquakes and the other terrible judgment. During the great tribulation, there will be Jews that will proclaim the gospel. Many will be saved, but they will be severely persecuted for their faith in God and suffer martyrdom. Let's look at this point and then we're done. Revelation chapter 7 first. Revelation 7:1, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all tribes of the children of Israel. Then he lists the tribes. So here's the 144,000 witnesses that will be flaming, fiery evangelists during the tribulation. And they will preach. And then they will seal their message with their blood. Because we'll read about them preaching in Matthew in just a moment. But go now after they're sealed. Then verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto God, our God, forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. And he shall lead them unto the living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So what happened? I believe there's a rapture right here in the book of the Revelation, that many of those who 144,000 are preaching to are saved, but yet they are saved and then they'll be martyred for their faith. But I believe if not all the 144,000, or many of them, are killed. We're not told exactly about, but they're, now we have a heavenly scene. They're in heaven, so maybe they're raptured up. And they're in heaven now. And who are these? These are they that were preaching. So they're preaching the gospel. And there's going to be a great revival. I think there's going to be a massive worldwide revival during the tribulation. I believe there'll be a gift of languages given to these guys to be able to preach the gospel in multiple languages. You realize tonight that many have never heard. Realize tonight that we're living in 7.8 billion people on planet Earth, and around 40% or more have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now go back to Matthew 24 real quick. Matthew 24. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's what those guys are going to be doing. You know, I've heard this preached so many times that this is why we do missions, because we, as we do missions, when everybody hears, the Lord's coming back. That's not what that's talking about. This is a tribulation verse. Everybody will hear during the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And then the end shall come. The end of the tribulation. But they're going to be preaching. We can't, you know, we do missions because we're commanded to do missions. We send people like the Pattons to the Dominican Republic because God says to go into all the world. But we're not doing it to hasten His coming. We're doing it because God commands us. During the tribulation, they're going to be, all the world will hear, and they'll have an opportunity. Now, many will reject. And many, if they're saved, get this now, if you're saved in the tribulation time, in other words, you didn't hear, you didn't have a chance to reject Jesus Christ, and you're still without excuse. If you die, you go to hell. We know that. But if you live and you're alive during the rapture, or after the rapture, and you've never heard, then you've never had a chance to hear, you've never had a chance to reject, then they hear the gospel, they're saved. Get what's going to happen to them. They won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. So they'll either starve to death, or, as Revelation 13 said, when Antichrist is in charge, if you don't worship him, you die. So many will die a martyr's death during the tribulation. And another reason to be saved. If you're not saved, now's the time to get saved. You don't want to take a chance. By the way, I believe anybody that's heard the gospel and rejected will receive strong delusion. Because the Bible says there in 2 Thess, what we read is that you love your sin more than you love the truth. And so you rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the Lord comes in the rapture, whatever the excuse is, the given why we're out of here, you're going to believe it. So don't take your chances and say, well, I'll just wait and see. No, I don't believe you'll have another chance. I believe your doom is sealed and you'll die and go to hell if you live through the tribulation. Either way, you die and go to hell, but you probably won't live through the tribulation. So we'll stop right there, pick up next week. I got one more point about the Great Tribulation, and then we'll get in and answer this question. Where will we be during that time? Where will we, the church, the Christians, born again, be during that time? Lord, we thank you tonight that you have saved us from the wrath to come. When we read about these things, Lord, our hearts are stirred for the millions that have never heard. Lord, this is why we do missions. This is why, because you've commanded us, but yet there's precious people around this world that need to hear, like those precious Dominican pictures we saw, those precious people. Lord, seal these things in our hearts. Help us to be a faithful witness right here in Sacramento this week. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together tonight. If you need to come and pray.